I'm Michelle Martin, and you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and whatever's on their minds. The week's been full of politics, sports, and culture news, so no doubt there's a lot on their minds. Sitting in the chairs this week are editor and civil rights attorney Arsalan Iftikhar, media executive Nick Charles, some new guys in the shop, not new to the program, but new to the shop, Roy S. Johnson, editor-in-chief of Men's Fitness Magazine, and media critic Eric Deggans. Jimmy Israel and Ruben Navarrete seem to be getting their shape-ups elsewhere this week, but guys, thanks for coming.
Hey, what's going on?
Glad to be here.
So, why don't we just talk politics? Hillary Clinton didn't have such a great week, did she, Arsalan?
No, she didn't. The whole Hillary-Bosnia debacle, where apparently on a 1996 trip to Tuzla, Bosnia, Hillary Clinton, first lady at the time, decided, was actually told beforehand that there was sniper fire around the area, and apparently when she landed, she was greeted by an entire delegation of schoolgirls, and one of them proceeded to read a poem about her easy-bake oven.
But that's not how she talked about it on the campaign
trail.
You want to hear it? Here's a lot of stories about this week. Let's hear it.
I remember landing under sniper fire. There was no greeting ceremony, and we basically were told to run to our cars. Now, that is what happened.
Problem is, that's not what happened. And we should know, CBS News accompanied the First Lady and daughter Chelsea on that Bosnia trip. There was no sniper fire either when Senator Clinton visited two Army outposts where she posed for photos, and no sniper fire back at the base, where she sang at a USO show starring Sinbad and Sheryl Crow.
So that was CBS's Cheryl Atkinson saying that... A little Pinocchio action going on there.
You know what I love about this, and this is Eric talking, you know what I love about this, is that the person who broke the lid on this story is Sinbad.
Sinbad is the one who said it. You got to love that.
And what I love about this story is Hillary had been telling this story on the stump for so long that all the reporters covering her were joking about it. I mean, she told it all the time. So why did it take Sinbad to remind Cheryl Atkinson that they hadn't experienced sniper fire when they were there in 1996?
I don't get it. That's what's amazing to me. This is Roy. It's a big deal because the small things say the most about us. You know, if you cannot tell the truth about something as simple and clear as this, how can we believe you on the larger issues?
A lot of people have lost jobs for embellishing their resume. She's embellishing her resume.
Well, the greater issue here, guys, is that, you know, this whole time she's been touting her foreign policy experience and her ability to be commander-in-chief. If you're escaping from sniper fire in Tuzla, Bosnia in 1996, that's foreign policy experience. If you're listening to poems about easy-bake ovens while you're serving as First Lady, that is not foreign policy experience. That will not make you a better commander-in-chief.
The funniest cartoon, this is Roy, that I've seen throughout this election was one in which Hillary and Bill were sitting at the kitchen table, and I believe it was about 2016, and Bill was saying, you know, by now, Chelsea has 27 years of foreign policy experience. That is how they view experience just by being in the family.
Speaking of Chelsea, it is interesting to see her more out on the campaign trail. Yeah. I mean, she's always been very sort of visible. I mean, she's traveled a very great deal. This was an interesting thing. She was asked about Monica Lewinsky at Butler University in Indianapolis. This is what she said. Do you want to hear what she said?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
Wow, you're the first person actually that's ever asked me that question. In the 70 college campuses that I've now been to. And I do not think that's any of your business.
I really thought you were
snap!
Snap! Statement by playing nothing. I thought she said nothing. I thought we were supposed to dead air.
What I do think is interesting about this is that
they put her out on the stump, and they want her to press the case that her parents are wonderful.
Right.
But then when people try to challenge that by asking questions the way they would of Bill Clinton or Hillary, all of a sudden, well, you know, she's the daughter. She can't answer any questions.
No.
Well, I'm sorry. She's in her 20s. She has a career.
Right.
She's making political speeches. And you have to face up to the questions of the electorate.
And there's a way to say you don't want to answer that question without insulting the person who asked it.
I think she answered the question honestly. I think she answered it from
absolutely.
Her heart. And I think she has the right to do that.
Absolutely.
And quite frankly,
I agree.
I do believe that we have gone into dangerous territory, with regard to private lives. Those of us in New York have been following the debacle involving Governor David Patterson, and it was ridiculous.
I agree with Roy to some extent, but not totally, but I disagree with you, Eric, because my thing is, when this happened, she was a teenager, a young teenager. She wasn't like she was 18. She was like 13, 14, or 15. And I don't think, even if they put her out there to stump for her mother, I don't think it's her position to defend the illicit affair of her father.
So, exactly. Or so on.
You know, and you'll rarely hear me say anything nice about the Clinton campaign, but I think Chelsea did the right thing here. You know, again, this was a personal issue. This was about her family's personal private affairs, and she very, you know, confidently said, you know, that's none of your business.
It's interesting because I think a lot of people wonder whether she has a future in politics. And it is interesting to kind of see her get her sea legs. I think a subtext of this campaign is their personal business and whether they've got, you know, their act together and whether her father, the former president's personal behavior is going to become an issue again. It's a very different job, you know, being the spouse than being, you know, the principal. True. But I just sort of wonder if maybe that's why the sensitivity. I don't even know. I can't even believe I'm bringing up Obama girl. I can't even believe I'm bringing it up.
But the new Obama girl video.
Am I really asking? I mean, without Jimmy here, who
you have to
and I will explain to you why.
Okay, go ahead. Arsalan's going to explain to me why.
Okay. The great thing about the Obama girl phenomenon, first of all, it's based on a website called barelypolitical.com. And that's what it is. It's barely political. It's reaching out to the 19-year-old college sophomores smoking the peace pipe, listening to Outkast and Thievery Corporation in their rooms, saying, listen, guys, get off your backsides and help change our country.
And it definitely is guys.
Yeah, well, you call a spade, yes. And so I think, you know, the 18 to 29 demographic in terms of voting has been abysmal. And as someone who's been a part of that generation for so long, you know, we want to see the 15 to 18% voter turnout turn into 30 and 40% so that we can be a swing demographic.
Yeah, look, I got to play this for you. But what's interesting to me is how these videos have gotten more pointed politically.
Oh, yeah.
Because the first one was just, hey, I like Obama, hey, you know. And then this one actually has a fairly sophisticated message. Let's play. We'll play a little bit of it because I don't want to get you all worked up. But here it is.
It is a radio.
Oh, we can't see her.
It's radio.
She looks really nice in this one too.
Okay, here it is.
To hear about Obama, I'm sitting in on his speeches, getting high off all the drama. But then I watch C-SPAN, and they're always showing one of your rallies. In the CNN ticker, can't keep my eyes off of the tallies. He's got the delegates locked down. Let him. Cause he ain't just another Mondale, John Kerry or Dukakis. Hillary, he's got the super powers to change the world. And he's ready at 3 a.m. steady by the phone.
This is called Woman to Woman, and the whole premise here is that she's telling Hillary to drop out.
It was a
really
good beat.
It's like
a good beat, too.
But Michelle, Roy, go ahead.
You're missing one point. This is aimed at men. If you've seen the video, she's very attractive. But this is an empowered woman. This is a woman of this time. She has a point of view, and she is not afraid to speak it, and particularly one in which in this video, she is not just buying into the sisterhood thing. She is saying, look, sister, you need to step back. You need to step aside. It is time for a change. So I view it certainly.
They're so touching, Roy, but don't they always call the Playboy Centerfold empowered?
No, Michelle,
that's not fair because she's actually turned the Girls Gone Wild dynamic on its head because she's using the same kind of methods, scantily clad, very attractive, but she's saying important things and she's saying them in a very witty way with a nice beat behind them and she's saying it for a generation.
Go ahead, Arsalan.
Just because, you know, Timbaland might be the producer and it ends up looking really good. I mean, it's not empowering when, you know, somebody's, you know, a girl is riding around in her Daisy Dukes in her bikini, you know, perpetuating every stereotype that we know to man.
What's wrong with Daisy Dukes?
He's a lost cause.
You're not
cause.
Feeling
Don't
it. Arsalan, you're not feeling it. You think it's not helpful.
I'm sure Nick looks great in Daisy Dukes, but I know I would.
Not an image I came here for.
Send your letters to.
Hold on one
but,
second.
But one thing I
Hold
think
this. Let's just pause for a second. If you're just joining us, it's our weekly visit to the barbershop with Nick Charles, Arsalan Iftikhar, Roy S. Johnson, and Eric Deggans. Go ahead.
What is interesting is to see how YouTube and all these various video sharing websites have become a real big part of the political dialogue. If you want to go back to the Reverend Wright video, at first we saw these videos with very short clips of his sermons. Mm-hmm. And then we saw videos circulated where there were longer clips of his sermons, and you could see for yourself the points that he was trying to make and how they had been distorted by the initial reporting. And that's one of the things that I find very interesting, is that reaching this young demographic, you have to use these media platforms so they can see it on their text message, or they can get it on their cell phone, or they can see it online, because the traditional ways of reaching particularly this demographic, just don't work as well.
The internet has become the coffee shop of this generation.
Mm-hmm.
This is
or
how
the
they get their news. This is how they share.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at college campuses and the central location where people came together and debated or shared their views, it's now the internet. It's now these file sharing methodologies. It's text messaging. Mm-hmm. They don't really talk anymore. It is how they're getting their news.
I am curious why the Clinton campaign doesn't answer.
There's a music video by a group called the Clintons, and
no,
you know, they're sort of taking the, you know, acoustic folksy. I mean, they obviously don't want to replicate the Obama, you know, the Clinton boy. It's not the same.
Okay, yeah. One more thing I wanted to run past you guys, which is it's interesting. We're talking about YouTube and kind of new media, an old media story. The Los Angeles Times had a story about an attack on a rap superstar Tupac Shakur. Apparently, they had to apologize for it because it was based on fictitious documents. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Are you guys familiar with this? Nick, you must have followed
the
story.
It's a story that the LA Times actually took some prisoner, doctored FBI documents, sent it to them and said, I can implicate Sean P. Diddy Combs in an attack in 1994 in New York City on Tupac Shakur, where he got shot and didn't get killed. He died, you know, a few years later, he got shot in LA, Vegas. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, this, I don't know what the mainstream media is doing, but they're not going after the real news, which makes me to wonder what are they up to in the, you know, they're talking about newspaper businesses dying. Well, they're helping kill it.
Eric, you were going to say
something. I just want to say, first of all, I'd be very careful about taking specific instances where newspapers have made mistakes and expanding that to the entire media, because the New York Times also broke the story that Elliot Spitzer spent money on a prostitution ring.
And
whatever you think of the personal nature of that story, he was somebody who prosecuted people for participating in prostitution rings, and he was doing it himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a story that I think the voters of New York deserve to know, and the New York Times broke it, and it was very solid.
The
other thing I'll say is that as far as Chuck Phillips, the reporter for the Los Angeles Times, who's a Pulitzer Prize winner and broke this story, there have been people in the rap community and the hip-hop community who've had problems with Chuck's reporting in the past. And I'm not saying that I know that he has a history of getting things wrong. He actually has a pretty good reputation in the mainstream media. But there have been people who have complained about the way the LA Times has covered the Tupac shooting, the one in Las Vegas, you know, before. So this is not a new thing, and they really need to clean house at that newspaper and make sure that what they're doing when they write about this issue is accurate.
Okay, we got to do one more thing before we go, which is we got to be careful about our brackets.
Yeah, we do. March Madness,
okay,
baby. Come
okay.
on now. You can't, it's not a barbershop without March Madness.
That's right, Arsalan. Break it down. Break it down.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
Georgetown.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm still in mourning.
Well,
that was cold. Listen, whoever said that, that was cold.
That was me.
Because you
was
know,
me,
I'm still. Thank you, Nick. Because you know, I'm still in mourning over my team.
And listen, I think
I just tore up my sheet.
I just tore up my sheet last
week.
And that's the great thing about March Madness. It's about the proverbial underdog. I think for any true sports junkie out there, I think if you ask them what one of their favorite things about the NCAA March Madness is, it will be the number 5 versus number 12 first round game. Stephen Curry from Davidson.
That's my boy. Go Davidson.
Del Curry, the former NBA sharpshooter, Del Curry's son. The kid looks like he's 12 years old and 140 pounds, but the guy is unreal. I want him to win.
Give him his,
and he's
I have
better
to give
him his
pleasure.
So call it for me. I'm put all of you all on the spot. Call it for me.
I'm picking the upset. Final Four is Davidson, UCLA, Stanford, and Louisville. I'm picking Stanford to win it all with the Lopez twins.
Wow. Even as an alum, I don't know if I could go all that way. I love the Lopez twins. I love the job that Trent Johnson is doing out at Stanford, but I just don't know if they can handle Texas. Texas has got the great guard and DJ, and I think he's going to be able to be.
They're
going to
hook him horns.
Final Four, Roy.
I'm going to go with Texas from the South. I love Xavier. You know,
they're good. Xavier's gangster.
On the way from the West, and Kansas. Kansas is just solid. I think Bill Self is going to make it from the Midwest. And then Louisville.
Yep.
I think Louisville's going to upset North Carolina. I love the way they play. And if you haven't played against the Louisville team, they're really hard to, it's hard to make that adjustment.
Eric?
Well, you know,
Nick, I'm going to give you the last word. Eric?
I'm going to, go ahead.
No, good on, man, because I have no idea what's going on.
Oh,
I just like watching the games.
All right. Go ahead, Nick.
I'm going to inject some reality. North Carolina is going to win it all because North Carolina has the best team and the best talent, and they're very well coached. Kansas, good team. UCLA, good team. North Carolina wins it all. My Final Four, I go UCLA. I'll go MSU, Michigan State. I think they can upset Memphis
really?
With a better coach.
Interesting.
I'll go with Davidson for my heart for final.
There you go. There you go.
It's our George Mason of the year.
Just
Davidson is our George Mason.
No, and then, kids college fun.
And then North Carolina, but North Carolina wins it all.
I'm with Eric. I tore up my sheet. That's what I'm saying.
I'm an
idiot.
Okay.
Nick Charles is Vice President of Digital Content at BET.com. Roy S. Johnson is Editor-in-Chief of Men's Fitness Magazine. They joined us in our bureau in New York. Eric Deggans is TV and Media Critic for the St. Petersburg Times. He joined us from the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I was joined by Arsalan Iftikhar, Civil Rights Attorney and Contributing Editor for Islamica Magazine. He was here in our Washington studio. No Jimmy to say yep, yep, but gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Somebody take the yep,
yep, yep, yep.
There you go. They all got it. Peace.